You are just moments away, by the way, from maybe going to Australia. K-Rock's World Tour 2013 destination number one is Linkin Park in Sydney, Australia. In about 5 minutes or so, we'll give you a chance to call in and win Linkin Park's latest album called Living Things. And you get on the standby boarding list. Someone is going to Australia. It's Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You guys are going to love this so much. You know the game we play, Chloe or Snooki?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we read their tweets and then we try and guess which one of them wrote it.
Well, here's a new game that we're going to play because it seems that Jay-Z is going to be scoring Baz Luhrmann's Great Gatsby movie.
Okay.
That's, of course, the movie that's being made from Baz Luhrmann. It's coming out in a couple of months. Kevin, you remember The Great Gatsby, maybe considered by many to be the greatest American novel ever written.
No.
But go ahead. Just the degree in English. That's all. That's all he got.
And it is coming out from Baz Luhrmann, who, as you know, always puts the contemporary music in the period pieces like he did with Romeo and Juliet, you remember, and with Moulin Rouge and stuff like that. So the game that we're going to be playing here is I'm going to be reading lines, and you're going to have to tell me whether they are from The Great Gatsby or from Jay-Z.
The Great Gatsby or Jay-Z?
Yes, correct. Right. Jay-Z or Great Gatsby? Hit it, Steve.
Is it Jay-Z or The Great Gatsby? 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 Jay-Z, swag. Gatsby, swag. Jay-Z, swag. Gatsby, swag. Who can it be?
That's fine, Omar. I think we're out of time now for the game. All right, so I'm going to read a line. Is it going to be something from the lyrics of one of the great Jay-Z songs, or is it going to be F. Scott Fitzgerald himself from back in the 1920s when he wrote the book The Great Gatsby? You guys ready for number
Should
one?
Should be easy.
Here we go. Number one. Your money's too young. See me when it gets older.
Gatsby.
Your money's too young. See me when it gets older.
Gatsby. Gatsby.
It definitely could be Gatsby.
Gatsby.
Yeah.
You're all saying Gatsby.
Yeah. Only because Ralph said it first.
Let's see.
It's your boy Jay-Z.
Wow. Oh, Jay-Z for that okay. one. How about that? All right. I'm 5 years too old to lie to myself and call it an honor.
That's
I'm
Gatsby.
5 years
Gatsby.
Too old to lie to myself and call it an honor. Listen Gatsby. To Kevin glomming Simple. Onto whoever says it first.
Simple. That's
definitely Gatsby.
Gatsby.
Ralph, how about you?
Gatsby.
Gatsby.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, how about that? All right. All right. Women run around too much these days to suit me. They meet all kinds of crazy fish.
They meet all kinds of crazy fish?
Women run around too much these days to suit me. They meet all kinds of crazy fish.
It's Gatsby.
Jay.
Gatsby.
I'm going with Jay.
That's Jay.
Gatsby.
Gatsby.
Oh.
Gatsby. Okay. How about that? Anyone keeping track, by the way? Anyone keeping
no,
score in the game?
No, not at all. I believe Ralph's ahead 2-1 so far.
No, we were all wrong on the first one.
Okay.
Ralph's ahead 1.
All right, ahead by 1.
Thank you, Muggs. All right, Jay-Z or Gatsby? His shirts piled like bricks in stacks a dozen high.
Jay-Z.
Gatsby.
Jay-Z.
His shirts
Jay-Z.
Piled like bricks in stacks a dozen high.
Jay-Z.
Gatsby.
Wow. Stop it! How about that?
Wow. All right. It's
That's
a tie.
That Scott was a little hipper you than maybe we I thought he was, right?
Wow.
All right. Jay-Z or Gatsby? No, no, don't thank me. This is just how my suit is stitched.
Jay-Z.
No, no, don't thank me. This is just how my suit is stitched.
Hmm. I think you want us to think that's Gatsby, but it's
I don't
Jay-Z.
Care what you think. I'm just reading it.
I think it's Jay-Z, too.
Jay-Z.
It's your boy, Jay-Z.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, a couple more. Males shouldn't be jealous. That's a female trait.
That's Gatsby.
That is also Jay-Z.
I'm going to go Gatsby.
It's your boy, Jay-Z. Oh.
Thank you. Everybody.
We're all tied
up.
All tied up. All right, are we to sudden death here?
Yep.
I sell ice
Jay-Z.
In the winter.
Oh, sorry.
I sell ice in the winter. By the way, Kevin, did you read The Great Gatsby? You have to read The Great Gatsby if you have a degree in English,
I'm
I
sure
imagine,
I did.
Right?
Move on.
Okay. I sell ice in the winter. I sell fire in hell.
I'm going Jay-Z.
I think Jay-Z is wrong.
I'm going Gatsby.
It's your boy, Jay-Z.
I just lost.
Yeah, you're out. You're out. All right, Ralph, Lisa, and Ralph.
All right.
Ralph
all
and right. Lisa. Okay. Okay, sudden death here for Ralph and Lisa. It takes two to make an accident. It takes two to make an accident, Jay-Z or Gatsby?
That's a real coin flip.
I think Gatsby.
I think Gatsby, too.
Gatsby.
Yeah.
Wow.
Still tied.
Too good.
Still
too
tied.
Smart.
All right. Well, I think I already have one more left, so hopefully this will just... I got two more. Two more left. All right. I like a girl who spends a little cash for her shoes. I like a girl who spends a little cash for her shoes. Jay-Z or Gatsby?
Jay-Z,
yeah.
It's your boy, Jay-Z.
Okay. All right. Comes down to this. Let's see. Could end as a tie. We tip the waiter $100 to keep the ice cold.
Jay-Z.
Gatsby.
Ooh. It's your boy, Jay-Z.
Is it Jay-Z or the Great Gatsby? Here's the headline. Right. Senior prostitution ring busted in New Jersey. Here's the first sentence. Authorities have arrested three people following allegations of prostitution and drug use at a senior citizen housing complex in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
That place is going off.
It certainly is. It's always a surprise when you see somebody in their 70s or older, even 60s, getting involved in anything having to do with prostitution. And I don't know why it is a surprise to me. People are still sexual, you know, when they get to be that age. Of course they would be, but there's a factor.
More time on their hands.
This dude is 75.
Right, but you're still going to be having sex when you're 75, Kevin.
I'll be calling this guy.
Maybe so. You call this guy for the hookup. Detective Captain Timothy Terrell tells the Record newspaper that James Darham, he's a 75-year-old, has admitted providing prostitutes to some of his younger neighbors. Crazy story. I don't know all the details, but we asked producer Dave, could you line up Mr. Parham, perhaps, if he would talk to us? We'd be so grateful. And sure enough, he has come through, and he joins us on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hi, James. How are you, sir?
Yo. What's going on, my nizzles?
Wow. You're one of those uncomfortably hip 75-year-olds, huh?
That's right. It's hard out here for a pimp.
That's what I understand. And you actually are being charged with being a pimp, of providing prostitutes to younger neighbors. That's a crazy charge for a 75-year-old man.
I know. 5-0 be cray. Ho-ho be cray-cray.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did it happen? How did you end up in this business, James?
Well, I live here in the senior center.
Right.
And it turns out some of my neighbors have needs.
Right.
And being a good neighbor, I tried to provide those needs for a reasonable cost.
Now, how did you get into that? How did you know where to look, where to go, how to find the girls?
Bitches be crazy.
Right? Well, that's not to Kevin's question.
I just slapped up some hoes here in the complex.
Oh, no.
And I said, you bet... best get your ass out there and earn for Jimmy Jam James.
Oh, no.
So were these women even prostitutes, or did you force them into the life just so you could make some money off of them?
I turned them out, yo.
Oh, you turned them out, yo. I didn't realize that.
And now they're all my bitches.
Right. Well, what
Hold
does
on
it...
a
what,
second.
What's happening?
Oh.
Nice.
Pretty big hit.
That's how I take my Metamucil.
Oh, I see. What do you do to keep the ladies in line? At 75, I imagine you're not physically intimidating.
I threaten to take away their teeth. That keeps them in line.
Ugh.
Although it actually makes them more attractive to some people. Comes in handy sometimes when you're just rocking the gum line, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Yes, we do.
Let's not talk about that. I guess I didn't realize that the prostitutes were also senior citizens. I thought maybe just you were the pimp and you were finding younger women to do the work.
No, my main hoe, Cheryl, she's 66.
All right.
66.
Yeah, and another one, Selma, she's 54.
Selma.
You know, with a name like Selma, she's got to be hot, yo.
No, I don't know that.
Is it inexpensive to hire a 66-year-old woman for sex? I would hope so.
Well, the rates vary, of course, depending on what you're into.
Right.
Yo.
Stop saying yo.
So, you know, for certain activities, it's, you know, a couple hundred dollars.
Okay.
A couple hundred
for others,
bucks. Others,
we'll put it on your Medicare card.
Oh, you can do that.
Nice. That's convenient.
Food stamps. We take a lot of trade things in barter.
Is that right?
Yeah. Nebulizers, catheters, one of those. I've fallen. I can't get up. Pendants.
What potatoes. Does that get you? What kind of trade does that get you?
That gets you Selma without her teeth.
Wow. Okay.
Not
pretty
a bad deal.
No, not bad at all.
And sometimes the guys have fallen and they can't get up, and Selma ends up wasting her time.
I brought up a story a week ago or so, Kevin, about a guy who did not react well to passing out at a party, actually in his own house, though, and waking up with penises drawn on his face with a Sharpie. You seem to think that he had it coming. Tell me about that. Explain that to me.
If you're dumb enough to pass out around your friends. And let's face it, there's a lot of levels before passing out. I mean, you could you could get sick, you could be completely tired, but when you pass out at a party, you're an irresponsible drinker. And anything goes.
You're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Wait,
and
are you saying the person who passes out is an idiot, Lisa?
Yes.
Or Kevin is an idiot for suggesting that you deserve it if you pass out in your own home and wake up with penises drawn on your face?
Both could be true.
Yes, I think both are true.
But I would suggest that if this guy passed out in his own home with his roommates, it's a little different. But if you have anybody come into a party from outside the house, dude, it's open. I mean, it's open season.
Yeah.
You're an idiot, and you deserve to have a penis drawn on your head with a marker. That's it.
Well, this is James Walker, 31 years old. He awoke and found out that it was, in fact, his roommate who had drawn the penis on his face. He was so ticked off that he went and assaulted his roommate, woke up his roommate, and started beating him, started hitting him in the face.
God.
He was so mad. A third roommate had to come in and break them up, but the second roommate, the one who got pummeled for drawing the penis, he decided to press charges. He called the police and they came and arrested this dude. And his defense was, I have a penis drawn on my face. And in fact, that even ended up on his mugshot.
Oh, his mugshot. That's awesome.
That's
so
just,
much worse than in your own house.
That's insult to injury when you have a penis on your face in your mugshot. So we started talking about this topic of your friends pass out. And Kevin thinks that not only should your friends be allowed to do whatever they want to you when you're passed out, but they have an obligation.
Yeah, more than that. It's a responsibility.
Right. You can't just let a drug friend sleep is what you're saying.
Not if they pass out at a party. And, you know, he's not going into his room and laying down and passing out.
Right.
He wasn't in his own bed. He was on the couch. Right.
So douchebag, everybody get a marker. That's how it works.
So we wanted to.
I don't make the rules, B.
It's in the Constitution.
Right.
Look it up. I thought it would be fun to take some telephone calls of stories where either you've been the person who passed out and woke up to a bad surprise, or you were the one who inflicted the pain on a friend. We want to take stories of both at 1-800-520-1067. The kinds of things that have been done to people while they were passed out. And let's stay away from date rape if we could on the call here.
No, nothing like that. Nothing illegal.
Beerbug, weren't you saying you had a particularly awesome story that involved a Sharpie with one of your friends too?
Oh yeah, we did the traditional penises all over his face while he was passed out in the middle
of the
party.
The traditional penises.
I like that it's penises too.
As is passed out from your grandparents.
Right, and we decided, you know, we got our laughs from the penises, and that wasn't good enough, so we decided to take the entire tip of the Sharpie and cover his entire face black. With black marker.
All right.
Nice. Yeah.
That's sweet. It may be a little too much, but that's sweet.
Sharpie does come off, but it involves some pretty serious scrubbing, right? How long did it take your friend to get white again?
He had to get industrial strength, like, you know, grease remover. And like, and it took him about 2 hours, and his wife was not
happy. Oh, my God.
Honey, why do you have a black face?
Seriously, that's inappropriate in this day and age. Blackface is out. So what about you, Kevin? I know you've had some stories.
I don't. I do the drawing. I usually don't pass out except for that one time at Coachella. Mm-hmm. Where we had that wonderful, wonderful Photoshop contest.
Yeah, we had you became a meme, which was pretty funny. Weren't you involved? Refresh my memory. Weren't you involved in something with our former sports guy Matt Money Smith? Was he the victim of some sort of Sharpie thing?
Yes, and Omar had just started. I believe it was Omar that did it.
Oh, was it Omar?
I
know it was the trip to Catalina coming back.
Yeah, and it was coming back. Yeah. And boy, did Money get mad. He got mad.
Well, you know why?
And I was surprised.
His wife got so mad.
Because his wife got angry.
He wasn't supposed to be probably pounding it like he did.
And his wife is
way hotter than he is.
Yes.
Way out of his league.
Wait, why is that relevant?
No, I'm just saying when she gets mad, he, you know,
he listens.
He listens because he shouldn't have her in the first place.
Oh, I see.
So he got very angry about it, but Omar did the right thing. But Omar was scared to death because he just started. He's like, is that not what we do around here? And I was, we were like, sure, yes, we do.
Before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, and I'm going to want to go to Danny first here on line five. Kevin, let me ask you this, since you apparently know the rules. Are you allowed to get mad at someone if they do something to you when you're passed out?
I don't think so.
You're not a...
Well, I mean, it's just
fair game.
It depends on what they do. Is it a marker drawn on the face? Yeah. Is it something that's, you know, a lot worse? Then it depends on what's happening. But you're the idiot that passed out.
Right.
Okay. All right. So you're asking for it,
yes,
basically.
Okay. You're demanding it.
Let's try Danny. He's on line five. We'll take one call real quick, then we'll come back with some more at 1-800-520-1067. Danny, you and your friends did what to another friend that passed out?
He passed out, and we super glued his toes together.
See, now that's just good fun, right?
God. Really?
How hard is that to get undone?
It was pretty classic. You guys, it came out, it was kind of like, well, you know, what's my feet burning for? You guys know what happened? We're like, no, we don't know. He just kind of was like, what is that? Saw some film. Ripped them out. Probably the loudest scream you've ever heard a grown man let out.
Oh, you just ripped it? Oh, dude. That tears skin. There's no way to get that super glue off?
He got a couple little blisters and tears, but I don't know. He was kind of cool with it.
So. He knew he deserved it, right?
Exactly.
That's the man. Thank you.
I don't want to be friends with any of you guys.
You wouldn't pass out. If you would, man, would that be fun.
1-800-520-1067. I think this is going to be a very entertaining segment. We'll take your calls when we return on the Kevin DeBean Show. Right now, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Apparently, a lot of our listeners, Kevin, have written these words on their friend's face in Sharpies. I heart penis.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Apparently, that has happened quite a bit.
Yeah.
Let's go to, we got so many good ones. Let's go to Mike. Mike is on line six, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about what you have done to your friends when they've been passed out, or you've been the passed out one. What has been done to you? Good morning, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
This is my story. Actually, we're on a cruise, a family cruise, and my brother-in-law passed out on the deck on one of those beach chairs.
Right.
We actually took the gel shaving cream, the gel where if you see it, it turns into gel and turns into, like, really thick after.
Right.
We took, like, six cans, and we pasted. We just painted his whole half his body. You couldn't even see his face. And we washed it. We washed it, hid in the bushes. And he woke up, and by this time it started turning white, so it got bigger. Well, he got up, and he just threw it off, and he just freaked out, ran up the stairs looking for us, and we followed him. You could see traces of the shaving cream through the whole ship. And when he found me, he was just trying to just murder me. People had to hold him up because he knew it was me. We're all laughing at him.
Awesome.
We even had other people watching him, staring at him and laughing at him, saying that was the best thing I've ever seen.
You did the right
thing.
That's
a good one,
guys,
yeah.
I want you to think about six cans of shaving cream.
Yes. Yes. I'm in.
That's unbelievable. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Hey, let's talk to Andy real quick. Andy's on line five. He's calling to say there are some rules, Kevin, to when your friends are passed out drunk.
All right, Andy.
Good morning, guys.
What are the rules?
So I was in a fraternity back in college, and we had a rule that was if you had your shoes on and you passed out, it was fair game.
It's fair game, right?
Oh, shoes on.
Because you take your shoes off, that means you're sort of meaning to fall asleep.
Yeah, and you know, the area that we partied in had a lot of couches, so it was pretty conducive for passing out. And one of those nights, I drank way too much and decided to pass out on the pool table.
On the pool table, good.
Yeah, my shoes still on, and, you know, my brothers started going to town on my face, and I had a lady friend there who... decided to take my shoes off for me.
She saved you.
That doesn't count. That's not
right,
fair.
If you're already passed out, it totally doesn't count.
That's
absolutely.
It.
I don't think I want to hear more about your friends going to town on your face,
no.
But thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Travis. He's on line seven. You know, there's more than just drawing penises on somebody's face. Apparently, there's lots of other stuff you could do. Travis, welcome to the show. What'd you do to your friend?
We actually duct taped 45-pound weights to his feet, so that way when he woke up, he wasn't able to pull his feet to his chest to figure out why his feet were stuck to the ground.
That's pretty good.
The creativity.
That's pretty good. 40-pound weights duct tape to his feet. Love it. Thank you, Travis.
From the Kevin DeBean Facebook page, John writes in, one of my friends passed out from Everclear. He woke up to another guy sucking on his fingers. Well, that is...
What?
That's... That's odd, right?
Can we end with Liz? We're not there yet, but can we end with her?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Garrett says, I woke up with the typical Hitler mustache, also penises on my face, and my hair bleached. That
Ooh.
Guy.
Wow.
They really went to town. Hair with him, bleached. Right? All right. Let's go to Sean. Sean apparently missed a lot while he was under. He's on line two here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Okay. You passed out. What happened?
Okay. So one of my friends challenged me to a shot competition, a female. And so I passed out on the couch thinking that I had lost. Well, I woke up the next morning to find that the paramedics had been there and that she had apparently puked all over herself.
Oh.
The paramedics had been there, and it was just a huge fiasco. This was at my own house, and I passed out on my own couch.
Did they do anything to you?
They didn't do anything to me, surprisingly, except for apparently I passed out on the floor, and they carried me to the couch.
that's the opposite of what you're supposed to do when somebody passes out. You're supposed to carry them to the driveway or something.
Your friends are not following the rules, Sean. Get new friends.
By the way, I'm surprised we didn't get any of those stories, but don't a lot of people, they move their passed out friends so that they wake up in a completely unfamiliar scenario? That's a deal. That's a thing you could do, right?
I woke up in a bush.
Right. All right, you want to end with Liz here?
Sort of. I sort of want to, and I sort of don't. Hey, Liz.
Hi.
You took it a little further than most.
I mean, I don't think it was that bad, but she was pretty pissed off. I was at an apartment party.
Everyone was using the toilet is what you mean to say on the radio.
Yeah, we can't say the S word. Sorry, Liz.
Okay,
go ahead.
They were pooping and using socks. Toilet paper.
God.
What a classy party that was.
Why did you not leave?
Horrible.
Was this a formal?
So this was like 6 in the morning. Like, it was light out, and this girl finally passes out. After, you know, nobody else has passed out, and so we take the sock.
No,
don't usually do this kind of
right.
stuff.
Right.
And she's worse than any of our callers.
I know.
Liz, you're the worst. You're a delicate little flower is what you are.
But you're following the rules, and for that...
All right, this is the moment we've been waiting for, not just for a few days, but for years. We've wanted Doto, the international man of mystery, to play a bigger part in this show because we love him. He's maybe our favorite listener of all time, and I think he joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Doe. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Kevin Bean. How's it going? It's been a while, man.
It has been. Did you have a good time going out with DJ Omar Khan the other day and doing some interviews for us?
You know what? I became less and less nervous, and I asked any weird questions from Steven Seagal to Pippi Longstocking to buffets and to Starbucks coffee, Kevin Bean.
Sure. Everybody wants to know about those things.
Now, before we hear some of this tape, and I understand that we're going to all enjoy it very much, you are interested in making it in the entertainment business, Doto?
I thought we all know that. We all know that, but for age, Kevin Bean, for years.
Okay, so that's a yes.
Yes.
Did you say AIDS in there somehow?
I thought he said age, but I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, all right.
Oh, Omar, you're with us too. Did you have a good time with Doe the other day?
It was the best time ever. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just unbelievable spending time with Doe too. I think we're best friends now, right, Doe?
Yeah, I need some babes, Omar.
I hear that, yeah. he said that a lot.
He did mention that.
Yeah.
So, all right, what do you have for us here, Kevin?
Well, Omar and Doto are in the car, and they're heading over to the 3rd Street Promenade, and this conversation is had.
I like to talk about buffets.
What about buffets?
People should go to soup plantations. It's pretty healthy. A lot of vegetables, a lot of tomatoes, mushrooms, onions, and raw vegetables. And it can help someone lose weight. It's definitely good. It can help people not to be too stuffed. Much better than hamburgers, and also it can help people to have a longer lifespan.
I got to be honest, Doto. Omar's not much of a conversationalist.
You're doing the heavy lifting, though, that's for sure. But I love it.
All right. So Doto's driving. Omar is interviewing.
Yes.
Doe, did you find it distracting that Omar was talking to you while you were trying to drive?
No, but. All my things, I was driving like an Asian. I wasn't driving pretty quickly. I was a little bit nervous driving up to L.A., Kevin Bean.
He did say that you were on the freeway going 20.
No, I was on the freeway going 60, maybe 55 to 60.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. he's on the streets, though. Before he got on the freeway, he almost ran a red light.
Doto just ran the red light. Good job, dude.
Thanks, man. I need some babes. maybe whites, Japanese, Koreans, and Chinese.
One of these is not like the other.
Probably the white. So I like white women.
What is it about white women that you enjoy so much?
Big boobs.
But not all white women have big boobs.
And they're pretty aggressive.
I know Lisa May is. She likes it. She'll do whatever. Have you ever heard of the donkey punch?
I'm not sure, Alma.
It's when you growl your f***ing girl from f***ing, and then right when you're about to you back at the f***ing. You want to do that with Lisa May?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Thanks, Omar.
All right.
Don't be under the bus.
Lisa, you up for that?
Is that a real question?
Doto?
Yes.
You seem a little uncomfortable when Omar brings up Lisa May.
I just got awake, Kevin Bean.
You just got awake?
Oh, okay.
All right. Important point.
Don't hit this lady. You almost hit a lady, dude.
What's happening?
If you don't know Doto, his sense of humor kicks in strong sometimes. And it's unexpected at times. Now, why were you laughing so much when you almost hit a woman?
Well, I didn't intentionally hit him.
No, but you almost did.
Why was that funny that you almost killed a person?
What? No, I didn't kill a person, kid. No,
right.
Yeah, but you came pretty close.
But almost. And then you went.
It's an odd reaction, Doto, because most people, if we, you know, accidentally almost hit someone, we're like, oh my God, oh, I'm so sorry. I thank God that didn't go badly.
No, I didn't hit a person. If I did, I would have taken serious care of being. I guess Alma and I, we were laughing because we were talking about me getting some babes, Kevin Bean.
I see.
Okay.
And you almost took
one out. There's one less babe in the world thanks to Doto's driving.
All right, let's get to the actual content. You're out there. You're talking to people.
I was interviewing people from various topics, and Mike and Alma thinks that I need to hold a microphone a little bit closer to someone's mouth.
Right.
Hello. Would you guys like to do an interview?
What's it about?
I have a question. What do you think about having Obamacare in 2014? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad?
I don't really want to answer.
What do you think?
Nope. Why do you think they didn't want to answer that, Doto?
Because I think that sometimes that topic could be very touchy, Kevin.
Oh, look
I
at
agree,
you.
Do. I think a lot of people just don't even want to get involved in a conversation about politics.
What about coffee?
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I ask you a quick question? What is your opinion of Starbucks coffee?
Oh, great.
What I like about Starbucks coffee is I like the vanilla brewst.
Yep, that's good, Doto. It's good that you're putting your own personal interest in there.
Yeah, because when I was talking to Alma, he thinks I need to start being a little bit more creative in my interviews, and maybe work on not keep asking serious questions.
Right.
I don't know what you just said, but I agree with it.
We have details on April Foolishness coming up. This is Doto, the International Man of Mystery.
We may not get to details on April Foolishness if you've got more tape, by the way.
Oh,
this
I've
is
got
more
tape.
Important.
I've got more tape. And this particular interview question is a unique one because it's a really old TV show that he's asking about, but All right.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a quick question? Have you ever watched a movie? Have you ever seen Knight Rider before David Hasselhoff?
Yes, I have.
And what is your favorite part of Knight Rider? But just give me
a
second.
A long time ago, just watching the car actually.
And can I tell what I think? And have you ever seen the car the Knight Rider? And then he has a stepbrother named Garth. That was back in 1984.
No, I didn't see that.
But you do like Knight Rider.
Yes, I do like Knight Rider.
That's my favorite because I like a car that talks.
I love the car that talks.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Bye. What do you think?
Is it
better? Again.
Great line of questioning. Are you kidding me? That was fantastic.
Now we ask Omar, what do you
think? I did watch a lot of Knight Riders back in the 80s, you know?
That came through. Your love for that show came through.
What made you think of it when you were out doing interviews just a few days ago here in 2013, though, Doe?
Yeah, because sometimes I like to ask people questions about movies and things back in the 80s, because back in those days was fun time days, Kevin Bean.
Fun time days.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Like Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Knight Rider, David Hasselhoff, you know?
Those
were the crazy days, man. Those back in the 80s, right?
What other kind of topics?
Getting better. What else? Mongolia. Okay, there you go. Excuse me. Can I actually ask a quick question? Have you ever been to Mongolia?
No.
And do you like Mongolian barbecue?
Yeah.
And do you know any good places for Mongolian barbecue around here?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Do I get the feeling you're just looking for your next meal every time we talk to you?
Or your next babe.
It's all about the babes and the food.
So it's pretty much the same as SOS, right, Bean?
Whatever you just said, yeah. Look, Kevin, who is it all about their next meal and their next babe? I mean, isn't that the world? Come on.
That's true. I have so much more. I just don't have time because we got to do the April Foolishness thing.
Well, give me a couple more.
All right.
Another question I'm going to ask is about buffets at the Sheraton Hotel.
Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a quick question?
No. Move on to the next one.
I know that, man. Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a quick question? Excuse me. Can I ask you a quick question? Excuse me. Can I ask you guys a quick question? Excuse me. Can I ask you guys a quick question? What about asking them? I'm going to stick the microphone in people's faces.
Okay.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a quick question? No worries.
Those people don't know what they missed.
What about the buffet at the Sheraton? We never got the answer.
Darn it. Doto, I think, and I don't know if I'm speaking for the room here or not, I think you're the best interviewer I've ever heard.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
I think that was great, and I am honored to have that on our show, and I hope that you'll do it again for us.
Sure.
It's a great start, and get back out there and keep doing it.
Cool. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Bean.
Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. Oh, sorry. Doe is done with us.
No, it's cool.
It's cool. Okay. Thank you, Doe.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you, Omar.
All right.
Sweet. We're going to hear some more of those throughout the morning. I guarantee.
I love it.
What is your opinion of German chocolate cake? You like German chocolate cake?
I don't know that product. I'm sorry, I'm French. You don't. But
have you ever? You know what? I go to France sometime too. And do you like flan?
Good question. That's a good question. You can't take do you like flan for granted anymore. You have to ask people about it.
Why would Doto ask anyone about German chocolate cake? How does his mind work?
It's a pressing issue of the day, dude.
I wasn't aware of that. But now he's inflaming World War II memories because this poor guy from France doesn't want to talk about Germany. That's bad.
So.
That's ugly, right?
I don't think either of them thought that. Bean, you remember when you were talking earlier this morning about being able to kick Terry Crews' ass?
You
remember
anything?
That?
I don't
like that.
Yeah,
I kick his ass easy.
The hell
well,
are you
now
talking
he's here
about?
And why don't you bring it?
Yeah,
how
what?
Dare you? How dare you?
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, he is one of the stars of one of our favorite new shows on Fox, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Terry Crews joins us.
Hey, what's up? Good morning.
Hi, Mr. Crews. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm awesome. I'm feeling so good right now.
You are, we've been lucky enough to run into you a few times over the years, including down at Comic-Con. You always seem like you're having the time of your life when you're doing what many actors consider the worst part of the job, which is out there shaking hands and giving interviews. Well, what's the secret to your positivity?
The thing is, I realize how fortunate I am. That's the thing. I'm from Flint, Michigan. You know, I'm that Plinko chip that landed right on the $1 million spot because... You know what I mean? I could have went all the way to zero, or I could have got like the $5 thing, but I got the major real deal. I've survived a lot of different things growing up in Flint, Michigan, surviving the NFL, surviving.
How many years did you play in the NFL?
Oh, 7 years.
7 years.
Six teams in 7 years. You know, it's just I really survived a lot, and I'm just so thankful. There's so many ways this could have gone wrong.
Yes.
Well, but before I ended up right. I'm good.
Before we talk about the acting, and you have had a very long and very successful career in acting, including right up until the present day with this Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Tell us how you feel as a 7-year NFL veteran, and of course you played in college before that. How what's your body feel like in the morning when you wake up?
You know, I feel wonderful. I work out still. I mean, I'm a big, big fitness fanatic, if you can't tell. I'm about 4% body fat right now.
I'm 40.
What I have to say is a lot of guys, when they're done, see, one thing is the NFL, most athletes only work out because a coach is telling them to. And
is that right?
Yeah, it's really weird. It's once you get out of the sport and get out of the thing, the strangest thing for me was actually paying for my gym membership. It was crazy. I just showed up at the gym. I was like, I want to work out here. They were like, okay, that's $25. I was like, what? What? $25 a month? I have to pay to work out? Because I was so used to just having a coach tell me what to do. Once I started doing it myself, I started to realize why guys stopped. Because there's no coach anymore.
Yeah.
And what happens is your body turns on you later. If you're in a good shape and all that stuff, when you look at guys, even basketball players turn around and they're like 500 pounds in like 10 years. It's crazy.
It's ugly, yeah.
I determined I wasn't going to be that way. And because of that, I feel good. I'm still here. I feel good. I'm 45 and I feel like I'm 20.
What's the come down like when you realize you've played your last professional football game and now you're still a young man and you realize you've got the bulk of your life ahead of you? What, I mean, most players, and this is a lot, there's a lot of talk about how the NFL isn't setting up players for what happens after the game. Yep. Most players are just rudderless at that point. How did you feel?
Well, I was totally depressed. And I mean, when I say depressed, it was in the dumps. Down, depressed. It's like a toilet. You know what I mean? It just kept spinning and spinning. And the thing about depression is that you can't get out of it yourself.
Right.
There's no way. And it's just self-help is not a true statement. You can't pull yourself out. You need somebody to reach down in that toilet and pull you out. And for me, it was my wife. But I was down, man. I mean, because the fact is, you know, it's such a short time, but you spend your whole life preparing for it.
Sure.
And then in your mind, you think, oh, my God, the best thing that's ever happened to me has already happened.
It's gone.
It's over. And wait, you got freaking 70 years left. You know what I'm saying? And it's so psychologically damaging. And my big thing is to tell NFL players, to tell athletes, yo, your best days are still ahead of you. They're still ahead of you. Do not stop. But the problem is that, you know, the NFL is so big your sport is so huge and you maybe are get cut or you're done and you're still in the city where the team is playing.
Yeah.
So all you hear about is the team and all the best thing I ever did when I got cut and I was done with the league, I moved to LA where there was no team.
Ah.
And then on Sunday, I would keep the TV off.
Really?
To this day,
you can't watch?
No, I'm good now.
You're good now.
Oh, I'm good now.
So you watch the NFL.
But during my depression,
of course not.
I turned it off, and all of a sudden you realize, wait, the sun is still rising.
Yeah.
Birds are still singing.
Yeah.
People don't really care that deep. You know what I mean?
And I still have a family, and I still have other things to be grateful for.
Exactly.
Right?
Now,
did you have a post-football plan? Were you going to be an announcer? Did you want to be an actor? What was the
This is the thing. I never wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be behind the scenes. I was an artist. I had an art scholarship before I had a football scholarship. I never wanted to act. I wanted to write. I wanted to produce. I actually thought I was going to be an animator or a special effects artist. That's what I thought. I moved
anything
out here.
Anything but acting.
Anything. No, literally. It's crazy. I came out here and went broke. The whole thing, I was doing security while I was waiting for my break as a writer, producer. And people used to come up to me like, dude, you need to act, man. You got to look. And I was like, oh, that's good. Excuse me, sir. You can't stand here. And I would move them off. But this is what once my friend made me go on an audition. He made me. He was like, dude, you got to go. I tell you, you got to. First thing I ever auditioned for, I got. It was a TV show called Battle Dome, which was like a version of American Gladiators and kind of that kind of thing.
Who cares what it was? You got it.
Yeah. My first job in entertainment, they put me in a cage, set the ends on fire, and I had to wrestle three guys out of the cage. That was my first job in entertainment. So I'm ready for anything right now. You know what I mean?
How do you, maybe this is an unfair question to ask you, but I have to rank you very near the top of successful NFL stars turned actors. I mean, you think about guys like Carl Weathers, obviously, and O.J. Simpson and Alex Karras and guys like that. But, I mean, in terms of the length of your career and how successful you've been, you got to be near the top, Terry.
But, you know, I was not a superstar player. That is the thing. I was allowed to come in and no one knew who I am. It's weird because I became an actor and then everybody found out I played in the NFL.
Oh, I see.
The hard thing is for an NFL player to humble himself. And to get down, because you got to start. It's like having a CEO of a corporation. All of a sudden, you got to start again from the bottom. You're sweeping floors at a new career. They can't do it. It's super, super hard. Well, me, I wasn't a star, so nobody knew who I was. And it was hard because people only let you have one dream. You know, you're only allowed one dream.
So if you want to play in the NFL, okay, that's it.
Yeah. They say you're out. Like I said, if Brad Pitt would have hit the Powerball, they'd be like, man, this is ridiculous. It's not fair. It's not. They make him give the money away. Or they kill him. You know?
So with all the roles that you had, and you were working pretty steady, was it really, I'm guessing, Expendables is when everybody started to kind of know your name and you became really well known as an actor, right?
Well, no. You know what? This thing, I've been famous in certain circles. It's weird. There's stages of fame. It's weird. I got famous in the hood first. I did a movie called Friday After Next. I couldn't go south of the 10. It was like, hey, man, that's that dude right there. Yeah, that's that dude, right? And then I did a movie, White Chicks. White chicks got me famous in the mall. I couldn't go in the mall. There were 13-year-old white girls were running after me. Their fathers were like, Amber, get back here. How do you know him? How did you know that man?
That's when all the girls fell in love with you.
I don't know your daughter, sir. I have no idea.
That man looks scary.
And then you know, Longest Yard hit. Then the Old Spice commercials hit. And then Idiocracy hit, which got me famous with the comedians and all this. So it's like different stages of fame. And then, you know, Everybody Hates Chris came. And it was like I was famous in the churches. And then like, he's such a good father. That's just he's a good man. I love you.
And so you hit everybody with all the different stuff.
I got my own. I have to wait. When I come up to people, and I have to wait to see what they mention. And then I go, oh, yeah, okay, that you're that fan. You know what I'm saying?
That is funny.
Got you. And Expendables is just crazy. People run up to me in the airport and screaming, and it just took me worldwide, which is what an actor's dream is.
Sure. Terry Crews is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. His latest job is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is one of our very favorite shows. It's going to be, it's Tuesday nights at 8:30 on Fox. But you guys are moving, right? You guys are...
Yeah.
You're moving on the schedule, right?
Yeah, we're moving. They're going to put New Girl in front of us, and you know, we're going to go to 9:30, and then they're going to put Glee at 8 to 9. The whole thing. You know... My thing is, I just work.
You just do your job. Put you wherever.
That's the thing. That's not my deal. You know what I mean? My thing, and everybody on our show, let me tell you, our cast gelled from the pilot.
We want to talk about that because we are big, big fans, and we've had Andy on a couple of times. In fact, the things he said about you when he was just here last week, he loves you. Andy Sundberg loves you, Terry, and we're glad you're here. And we'll take a break and come back, talk more with our guests right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock.
You will see him in theaters again next year in The Expendables 3. We're talking to actor Terry Crews here on the Kevin DeBean Show, one of the stars of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yes, you were starting to talk as we took a break at the end there, Terry, about this awesome cast and how hard it is to create that chemistry. I mean, you guys, the casting director, it's lightning in a bottle to have all you people working together on this show.
Well, Dan Gore and Mike Schur knew what they were doing. They literally got the cast that, you know, the most interesting people they could find, and everybody who wanted to be there, wanted to work. And we got there, and it was like we were working for like 5 years before, and this was the pilot.
Right.
And we
It just
gelled.
Felt like you knew each other, you knew the show, you knew everything that was going on.
It was sick. And you know, and it starts with Andy, man. I mean, Andy Samberg is the future of comedy. I had some choices as to what shows I was going to get on. Mm-hmm. There was a couple pilot offers and the whole thing. But I knew being with Andy Samberg would be my ticket, because you're only as good as the people you work with. That's right. It. You know what I'm saying? If you work with somebody who sucks, it's all of a sudden your performance just starts to go down.
Right.
And Andy is a guy who's a young comedian, but he is all about the work. He works so hard to make it look effortless. You know what I mean? Me and Andre Brower watched this guy, because, again, we're the older, you know, crew in the bunch. And we're like, dude, we can't put our careers on somebody who's out there goofing around.
Right, sure. Right,
Andy is the real deal, and he's funny as hell.
And by the way, you talk about this cast. I mean, there are a lot of people who everybody listening would recognize their faces but don't know their names. Like Joe Lotruglio was one of those guys who you've seen in like a million shows and movies, and he's always hilarious. Chelsea Peretti is another one, the comedian.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a talented, deep cast. I mean, I just think this show is so funny. Now, did you know Andre Brower at all before this?
No, not at all. I didn't know any of
the cast. Because I would be intimidated as hell to show up on a set with Andre Brower. I mean, he's one of the great TV actors of all time.
I know. I was scared, man. I was scared. It was like working with Sir Alec Guinness, you know what I mean? I was like, dude, I'm a dumb football player. I'm like, dude, I gotta take some acting classes. Listen, I've been acting for 14 years. I was like, damn it, I gotta get better. And, I mean, he's like, hello, Terry, how are you? I was like, man, my voice can't even sound that good. And, but, you know, we were nervous, man. I ain't gonna lie. It was like, you don't want, you know, some super actor to come in and judge everything you're doing. And Andre was... It's just the best dude. He's hilarious, the whole thing. We kind of tested him. Andy and I, we were like singing the song from Glory. You know, that, oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Right. And he looks over and he's like, what are you doing? And we're like, uh-oh, I know, I'm singing song from Glory. And he goes, oh, my Lord, Lord. And he joins
and
in.
And right then you were like, all right.
We were like, I love you. I love you, Andre Brower. And it's been the best time ever.
If somebody would have come up to you in your playing days, Terry, and said, one day you're going to be done with football, you're going to be an actor, and you're going to be on a hit show that is going to be aired after the Super Bowl, it would have just blown your mind.
No,
right?
I would have back-slapped him. You know what I mean? With a backhand. you know, no, liar. It wouldn't, I would, you know what's weird? Because I have now more than I can ask or think. And this is why I'm so happy. People are like, you're so happy. But I'm like, dude, look at where I am.
Yeah.
Look at what I'm doing. If it ended now, I'm good. You know what I mean? I know that.
You were saying during the record that if you were able to go back to the NFL right now, not a chance.
Not a chance, brother.
Not the least bit interesting.
No way. I mean, you know, the NFL, you got to have some pain. You got to play with some pain. It's that desire to, you know, you're like, this is the only way I'm ever going to make it. It's like boxing, and it's like the MMA. You know, you don't get great boxers out of Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
It doesn't happen. You got the reason I even played football in the first place was to make it out of the hood. That's it. Most athletes, and this is what the thing that the NCAA and a lot of people capitalize on, is your desire to eat. Okay.
Right.
And they go, hey, man, would you, this is the thing. This is your scholarship. This is the reason why a coach over at Rutgers could throw a basketball at people's head. And right. The guys don't say anything.
Yeah.
Because you know what? They know they're going to go home to the hood if they get kicked out. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's one of those things where once you get something beyond that, all athletics loses its power. It becomes a game. Then it becomes just you play for fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's where things need to be. I always felt like sports should stay in the fun stage. When it stops being fun, don't do it anymore. Me, right now, I always do everything for, you know, for my fun. I don't take a job unless I like it. I don't do anything for money. And when I played in NFL, I did it for fun. But when it stopped being fun, I was out. I was like, I got to move on. I'm ready to do something else. And that is a well-adjusted person.
Boy, I'll say, and so rare. Terry, what's the secret to, forget being an athlete, what's the secret to anybody being able to stay married to one woman for 24 years?
Wow.
That's got to be so rare in your business, particularly, both of your businesses.
You know, first of all, it takes a series of humbling admissions. I had to realize that I had to be compassionate to my family. I had to be empathetic. A lot of things you see on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and the character Terry Jeffords is me.
It is.
I am that sensitive. I had to learn to be. The Marlboro Man goes off into the sunset, and he's alone, okay?
Yeah. Right.
And the wife doesn't talk to him, and
right.
The kids don't know him, okay? I was that guy. I'm the manliest man ever. I've knocked people out in bars. I've done the NFL. I did all that stuff, but I couldn't talk to my family. I wouldn't open up. I wouldn't say, honey, I'm lonely. Honey, I need you. I wouldn't do those things. It was
right.
All hardcore. And then until my wife was like, I'm gone. I was like, wait a minute. What is this? What? I'm giving you money. I'm doing it. She's like, honey, it's over. I was like, what? And those wake up calls make you realize what's really important. And every guy needs it.
Yeah.
You need it. Sometimes you don't get in shape until you get that diagnosis that says, uh-oh. And I've had a series of those. And my wife loves me. And she said, as long as I was willing to change, she was willing to stay with me. And I said, now I got to keep changing. I got to keep finding out who this woman is every day. It's not a thing where things are not automatic. More people put their energy into their job and studying their job than they do their marriage or their kids. I started to study. I started reading books. I said, man, I got to be a better father. I got to understand what this is. I got to learn empathy. I got to learn compassion. And it changed my life. It changed who I am. And it allowed my wife to stay with me and us go. I mean, this stuff happened like 10 years ago, but now we look at it, it's like, wow, we're still here and we're getting better. And I love her more every day. I mean, it just gets better and better.
All perfect right, you're being. Better than we are.
Oh, no, let me tell you, my wife will be right here telling me I kept up with this asshole. I put up with it. It takes a very special woman to put up with Terry Crews. Okay? Let me just tell you that right now.
Well, he is a terrific human being and a fine, fine actor. And I'm telling you, if you've not checked out Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you guys don't know what you're missing. It is one of the funniest shows on TV. It airs for now Tuesdays at 8:30 on Fox. And again, you can see a special episode after the Super Bowl next year. Mr. Crews, thank you so much for the time.
I love you guys.
Sir.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it.
I was preaching today. I'm sorry.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:39.
Funny man Jay Moore joins us in about 20 minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in minutes as well. Jeffrey Ross later on the program. A lot of good stuff coming up. Hey, I'm glad David King of Mexico stepped back in. Hi, King. How are you, man?
Hey. How's it going?
We didn't get a chance to talk enough about your trip to Australia and the way you violated that poor little wombat.
I didn't violate it. I gave it a nice hug and a nice peck on the back of its neck.
Yeah, we put the picture up. People can make up their own minds.
Tell us about Tonka the wombat that you went to visit, because this wombat is pretty famous in the country of Australia, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's in at the place called the Billabong Sanctuary. And what it is because you're not allowed to touch these animals anywhere else but this place.
Right.
So people, you know, travel to this place and get to hug a wombat.
Now, the reason that you planned your Australia trip for, I think, 2 years?
It was about 2 years.
Yeah. Was?
To hug a wombat.
This is the main reason they went to Australia.
I didn't go for Sydney. I didn't go for
Melbourne.
Not
for the Great Barrier Reef. Nothing. Not for any of that stuff. Swimming with the sharks, which he ended up doing.
Yeah, I did all that.
But to hug a wombat was the... really the only reason that he decided he needed to go to Australia.
And it was great because, you know, I just Googled, you know, where can I hug a wombat? And this place popped up. But a couple of, last year the story came out where there was a depressed wombat. And I was shocked when I realized...
How can you tell if a wombat is depressed?
Well, it lost a lot of weight. It lost a lot of weight after a cyclone. And you know,
you need to get depressed, Dave.
Yeah, right? I need to get depressed
a lot.
Yeah, but I was really shocked and really kind of happy. I was like, dude, we were talking about this wombat, and here I am hugging it and giving it a little kiss on the back of the neck.
I'm just saying, the wombat is on your lap.
It is.
But its little front paws are like reaching out, like, please get me off of this.
Trying to get away.
It's trying to get away.
Sure.
It's
and enjoying Dave is my hanging on for dear life.
He is.
Those things are heavy, man, and they're tough.
You can tell that Dave is forcing his will on Tonka.
Yes.
Tonka is rear naked not choke. You know,
not like, happy at that moment.
How much time did you spend with Tonka at the sanctuary?
I traveled 14 hours to get to Australia. A minute.
One minute.
I love that.
Maybe a minute and a half.
And how long did Tonka want you to spend with it?
Oh, more.
About
hours.
5 seconds?
I almost went into the pen with it, you know? I wanted to go burrow with it.
So your story, your story, Dave, before we go to a dissenting opinion, is that Tonka enjoyed meeting you and had a good time there at the sanctuary that
Tonka
day.
Loved it. He was so happy. They told me that he has never been happier.
Is that what they told you?
He gained weight just by...
You're such a liar.
Yeah, that's what they told me. They go, he's never been happier and he's never met anyone from the United States. So,
they tell everyone that.
They do, yeah.
No, just me. Let's find out if that's actually what happened, because, Dave, we have a surprise for you. Tonka, the depressed wombat, is actually on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
Tonka?
Hello.
Hi, Tonka. How you doing, buddy?
I'm not feeling so good.
Are you still depressed?
Yes, I'm still depressed. More than ever.
I thought that you would be all happy now that you got a chance to meet Dave from the United States. You remember him, the big fat Mexican?
Oh, how can I forget?
No.
Tonka, we had a good time.
Tonka.
This is so sad. What happened? Because it looks to me, I'm guessing from the photo, that things went terribly wrong.
I was minding my own business.
Right.
Eating some Purina wombat chow.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the next thing you know, my handlers come in the pen and say, oh, we've got a surprise for you.
Okay.
And the next thing I knew, I was on his lap and he wouldn't let me go.
Oh.
Well, now, Dave says he was just hugging you to get a good photo.
He started kissing the back of my neck.
Yeah, ooh.
Creepy.
What did you think about that?
It was horrible.
Yeah.
And I felt his clammy hands all over me.
Oh, you rubbed your hands all over him?
I had to hold
him. The next thing I know, he's whispering in my ear, oh, you're going to leak the ice.
And
he meant like this,
yeah,
right?
I don't even know what that meant. Why
Translation.
Can't you guys speak English?
We speak, Dave.
That's a good question.
He said you got to like this, and then what happened?
Well, next thing I knew, I felt... something in his lap.
No.
Is this a surprise to anybody? Look at the photo.
Dear God.
And I thought he was trying to offer me a lifesaver.
Right.
Right. Or perhaps a tum. But instead, I believe it was something else.
Oh, Tonka.
Reminded me of the time I met that guy who did the voice of Elmo.
You've had terrible luck.
You really have.
This is why I moved to Townville. After Village Glen. Because I was trying to avoid this kind of thing. And I'm already depressed, and now this happens. I'm accosted by a guy with a neck beard.
Oh, wow. We're so you're sorry.
The, you're the victim.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. This is terrible, Dave. Still? It's been a week and a half. Still?
I still have his fingerless glove stuck somewhere.
It was fun to catch up with our STP buddies, wasn't it? The DeLeo brothers, Eric, Chester Bennington. New music sounds really, really good. Got a couple of musicians on today's Kevin and Bean show for you, too, including our friend Rob Zombie. Also, Steve Aoki stopped by, one of the most popular DJs in the world. He'll be with us here in the 9 o'clock hour. He has a major concert announcement for us. First, though, who's ready for bunghole talk?
Oh, I didn't realize this was going to become a new feature, but I am.
Bunghole talk. First up, President Lyndon Baines Johnson. Now, we played some of this tape for you last year, but LBJ is back in the news, as Ralph was telling us in the Showbiz Beat this week, that that Bryan Cranston is going to be taking his LBJ play that is currently on stage in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to Broadway, and it's going to be the hot ticket.
Now, when was he president? 60? Early, mid-60s?
Yes, from 1963 to 1969, right?
Right.
So he's president, and this particular tape was just released last year. This was from the archives, the Lyndon Baines Johnson archives. They release tapes of things that are recorded on the presidential phone in the Oval Office at the White House.
Why can they not release things? No, honestly, because why would you decide to release this?
I think eventually everything gets released.
Right.
I think it all gets saved and it all goes into the permanent record. Right. So it's August 9th, 1964, and the reason we're this phone call happens at 1:17 in the afternoon, by the way. There's your detail. The reason we're excited is because apparently this phone call did make it into the Bryan Cranston LBJ play. So if you go see that play on Broadway, you're going to see the president talking about his nuts and about his bunghole.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't it right? It's great. He's on the phone with the leader of the Hagar Clothing Company. Now, Lisa, they're still around, right? They still make pants,
yes,
I think,
they
right?
do.
He's on the phone with them, and he wants some custom-made pants. And I'll just play a couple of minutes for you. And you're just going to be amazed when you think how many things – Vietnam is going on. How many things are going on that the president could be spending his time on?
Yeah.
And he's spending this much time on getting some pants made.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Hager?
Yes, it's Joe Hager.
Joe, is your father the one that makes clothes?
Yes, sir. We're all together.
Y'all made me some real lightweight slacks. He just made up on his own, sent to me 3 or 4 months ago. It's a kind of a light brown and a light green, rather soft green and soft brown. And they're real lightweight. Now, I need about 6 pairs for summer wear. I want a couple, maybe 3 of the light brown, kind of a almost powder color, like powder on a lady's face. Then there was some green.
Okay, now I know what you're thinking, Kevin. Isn't there anyone else who works in the White House who could be handling this job?
First of all, he should be doing something else. Second of all, don't they have somebody to handle this?
There has to be a tailor.
Right.
Wouldn't you think some guy would come in, and one time he would come in, like, every couple of years, and he would take the president's measurements while he's on the phone, and he would go off and get all of his clothes made?
This sounds like it's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. It sounds like a crank call, almost. It's cold calling some company saying, hey, I need some new pants. It's crazy.
You know what it sounds like to me is the kind of conversation you would overhear your grandpa having.
Right.
Like it's that kind of minutia that grandpa would be taking care of. But
you
no.
said what? 1:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah, this is 1:17 p.m. on August 9th, 1964. Yeah, this is what the president's got going on.
And then maybe some other light pair. If you had a blue in that or black, I'd have one blue and one black. I need about 6 pairs to wear around in the evening when I come in from work. I want them a half inch larger in the waist than they were before, except I want 2 or 3 inches of stuff left back in there so I can take them up. I vary 10 or 15 pounds a month.
All right,
so leave me at least 2.5 to 3 inches in the back where I can let them out or take them up.
All right, hold on.
And put it, make-
Is that extreme, varying 10
yes.
to 15 pounds in a month?
That seems like a lot.
What the hell is going on?
Muggs, you go up 10 to 15 pounds a month, don't you?
30 pounds a month. Actually.
You don't go down, though.
No, yeah, that's the thing. You only go up.
By the way, who knows this? What guy knows this much about the dimensions of his pants? Who knows enough about tailoring to make requests like this? I sure don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't know how to describe any of the stuff that the president's so familiar
but,
with.
But having said that, how awesome would it be if you could just call somebody and go, here's what I want?
Yeah. Well, he's obviously had pants made for him
before.
So he does know something about this.
But isn't he going? I mean, I know that the gentleman on the other end of the phone is a Hagar. He's in the pants business. But it seems like the president is zipping through a lot of details that you're expected to keep straight. Like, I wouldn't be able to, like, instantly manufacture what he's saying. I'd be confused at this point. All right, we're still working up toward nuts.
And put it, make these a half inch bigger in the waist. Make the pockets at least an inch longer. My money and my knife, everything fall out. Wait just a minute.
By the way, I love that the president carries a knife.
Me too. And it just falls out. He's walking around the White House or wherever, and he just drops his knife. What's going on with this?
I don't think that happens much anymore. You don't really see President Obama with a knife.
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there because they cut me. It's just like riding a wire fence. These are the best.
By the way, that's a nice Texas expression, isn't it?
Riding
a wire fence.
That he has to explain where the crotch is.
Can you imagine, too, like he's in a meeting and all of a sudden he gets his nuts get cut. I mean, how do you focus on anything?
Excuse me, I have an emergency. My nuts are cut.
That's right. That's crazy.
These are the best that I've had anywhere in the United States. But when I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So, leave me. You never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper is.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
We have burpage.
That is great.
Isn't that awesome?
If you were on the phone, look, I know they probably hook it up through, a security line and somebody calls you and says you're going to be talking to the president. But once he starts talking about his nuts, don't you go, somebody's pranking me.
Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And Joe Hagar, I mean, he's the guy on the other end of the phone with the president. He sounds like he's taking it all pretty well, but he should be freaking out right now. He should be, like, making hand signals to all of his family members, like, you're not going to believe what I'm talking to. You're not going to believe what he just said. All right, we're in the final 45 seconds or so here. We're still working toward bunghole.
An inch from where the zipper ends, around under my... back to my bunghole.
Yeah!
So I can let it out there if I need to. Now, be sure you got the best zippers in them. These are good that I have. And if you get those coming, I would sure be grateful.
I love, by the way, we don't have time to hear much more, but I love that he goes into detail about the pants and about the cut. Then he goes into the zippers. Then he goes into talking about how he wants to get some shirts made. And then they discuss whether the material is too heavy to wear as a shirt. Then he talks about making jackets. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And you're thinking, hey, Mr. President, America.
Isn't anything happening?
Remember, America. Us. The end of the call, by the way, he hands off to his assistant to get the, address details and everything like that. By the way, the address is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Sure.
But he says, I got to go to a funeral. So this was the call that he squeezed in on a busy day when he was heading out to a funeral.
Hey, I got to go to a funeral in a second, but can you work on my bunghole?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our good friend DJ Omar Khan to the studio.
DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning. Hi, Omar.
What's happening, man?
Omar was just telling me that he's been working on the Kevin and Bean Show for 11 years now.
Isn't that crazy?
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I think that's where his deep-seated hatred of both of us comes from.
O is the guy who does so much work behind the scenes that he does not get the proper credit for. I mean, he is really responsible for a lot of the audio that you hear on the program. But one of the things you do know him for is his intros that he does for all the various games that we play and features that we do. He's the guy who goes into the studio and comes out with stuff, and we virtually never hear it before it goes on the air.
Yep, that's
we don't true. Have to, we don't give him direction either. We just say, okay.
We're going
to
call it
make
whatever.
Make a theme for bananas on Tuesdays. Yeah. And then we'll just send him in there, and he's got to come up with something.
Yeah.
And then generally at the end of the song, our mouths are on the floor. We're like, what is Omar smoking?
Well, sometimes it's so good. Sure.
Sometimes it's so good. So I always look forward to this time of year because we start counting down the top tens from throughout the show's year. And now it's time for DJ Omar Khan's Top 10 Kevin and Bean Intros of the Year.
The Top 10 Omar Intros. The Top 10 Omar Intros. And I don't
All right, I could have done without the fart, maybe, but okay.
Come on. I got to tell you, it seems weird just tell a guy to go in and make his own intro.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little bizarre.
A very strange job I have.
At number 10, here's an intro that Omar did for what has turned into a very popular and very regular feature on the Kevin Beach Show. I think you'll recognize it.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What the hell is going on? You always have the craziest news. What's going on in Florida?
That was pretty strong.
Yeah, how? What's the thought process like, Omar, when you go in there and you know that you're doing an intro for a bit called "What's Up with Florida"? How do you even start?
You know, it's funny. It's like one of these things where you know we use this like music production service,
right?
So I go to scan through different music beds, whether you know I type in punk or 50s or 20s, and this one I was feeling like a 1920s bed or whatever. So I think I typed in like old timey,
okay,
or something like that, and that one popped up. And if I like the melody. And uh-huh. I think I could sing along to the melody and do something with it. I just pick one and go with it.
Well, forgive me for saying, but you can't sing along with any of them.
How dare you? How dare you?
First of all. you pick a music selection and then write words to fit that.
Yeah, unless I'm doing like a parody of a song, which then, you know, obviously, you know,
write.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, write for the song, yeah.
All right, another new feature that we started recently is an autocomplete game. This is where I give you the beginning of something you might search for on the internet, and you come up with the end of it. This was just called autocomplete game, and listen to what Omar came up with at number 9.
Ow! How about some heavy metal? Autocomplete game. Hey. Autocomplete game. Hey. Autocomplete game. What does Google think you're trying to search? Autocomplete game. Hey. Autocomplete game. Hey. Autocomplete game. I only search for naked grandmas.
That is true, by the way.
What is happening there?
That's your job. That's what you did for work that day. Number 8, if you recall earlier this year when Baz Luhrmann's movie The Great Gatsby came out, Jay-Z did the soundtrack, and we did a bit where we had listeners calling in to win tickets for the premiere, and we read lyrics that were either from Jay-Z or words from the F. Scott Fitzgerald Gatsby book, and this was called Jay-Z or Gatsby.
Is it Jay-Z or The Great Gatsby? Is it Jay-Z or The Great Gatsby? Jay-Z. Swag Gatsby. Swagalicious.
Yeah, so that's on the bad side. That counts too, right? In the top 10?
How dare you? It's so funny because, like, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, the dead space it doesn't work. So I always just fill stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, naked grandma or
like swag.
Swagalicious. Yeah. Just come up with random
BS. You might leave Swagalicious out next year.
No way.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to work it into every intro now.
We already are getting demands from listeners that there is a Bananas on Tuesday intro, so we got to start working on that. All right, number 7. Omar, Teen Heroes. Was this one of the superhero movie giveaways we did?
Yeah, I think it was for Kick-Ass 2, the world premiere or something like that. And this actually started like a series of games. Because the first one we did was Teen Heroes, and then we did Green Heroes, Mean Heroes, Queen Heroes, and Machine Heroes.
Yeah, all that happened.
All to the tune of David Bowie's Heroes.
This is Teen Heroes. Now it's time to play.
So then Ralph, whoever, would come up with the next one.
And I would do a different one.
I'll do the same song.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Love it.
All right, we have a first ever in our countdown of DJ Omar Khan Top 10 Intros of the Year at number 6. Do I have this correct, Omar? This is an intro that you did not participate in for tickets to see Hunger Games Catching Fire.
That's true. I was on vacation, so Beer Mug stepped up, and you guys were doing, I guess, Famous Archers. And
yes, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the game was called Shoot Them Bows.
Right, that happened.
Not for the Kevin and not for the Bean. Just for the Mockingjays down with the sea. Hope this cat and his chick is wearing skimpy clothes. It's time to ask for Famous Archers.
Shoot them bows.
I laughed my ass off when I heard
that's
that.
That's not bad.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
impressive,
especially
right?
Considering
absolutely.
Where it came from.
Yeah. All right. I think I might have been on vacation for this one because I have no memory of the one at number 5. We had a game called Looney Tunes that I think had something to do with cartoons, I assume, right?
No. Looney Tunes was actually, I think we would play different theme songs from different comedy shows. We're giving away tickets to April Foolishness.
Ah,
okay. So we took, all you know, right. the biggest, you know, sitcoms, I think it was.
And Seinfeld,
you know,
played, and whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. We play the theme, and this is what I came up with.
It's time to play the Looney Tunes game, where we play you a theme from TV. And it's a funny comedy. Can you guess the TV theme we'll play for you now? It's time for Looney Tunes.
Abbity, abbity, abbity. That's, oh, yeah. That's
Well done.
I guess from that same week at number four, also giving away April Foolishness tickets. This was called Funny Fight. Maybe this involves some jokes or something.
I really don't remember how we played the game. It doesn't matter. Whatever. But I did this to the tune of Kung Fu Fighting.
Everybody was funny fighting.
A funny a fight.
You gotta be fast as lightning.
A funny a fight.
And if you win, you'll be laughing.
A funny a fight.
Cause you'll be April Foolishing.
A funny a fight.
What was your oh yeah? Was that just something you decided you were going to do this year?
I did it in one intro last year, I think, and you guys laughed really hard, so I just kept going with
it. Back in.
I have no real reasons why I do what I do.
We're counting down the top 10 intros from DJ Omar Khan for the calendar year 2013 of the Kevin Abid Show. Here's another comic book movie we're giving away. This is Superhero Colors. This one's called from Omar.
Yeah, I think Ralph came up with, he's blue or he's green or whatever, right. You know. So Dave actually came up with the idea to do it to the tune of Ice T's Colors. So here's my best Ice T impression.
Colors. I am a hero walking, superpowers talking. Wear my super suit, these are tights, not stockings. Living life like a hero, cause that's what I do. My outfit super pimpin', the colors I choose. Black or green, battle Hulk, it just don't matter. We will die to save your life, watch the bad guys scatter. Colors. Is there a hero that uses tie-dye? He'd be a really cool guy.
He would be, right?
I got to tell you, you do get the idea, though, that Omar knows that we're going to be unable to explain the game, so he has to put it all in the intro.
Absolutely.
Right.
I do my best.
All right, here's one of my very, very favorite. I was so happy to see this one on the list. We were giving away tickets for this year's Superman movie, and we were playing clips, and you had to tell us which Superman movie of the several that have been out it was from. This was Omar's intro for Name That Superman Movie.
But really quickly, I just want to mention that the original intro, we just have a little clip here, was about a minute and 15
right.
seconds long.
Yeah.
It was really long, so.
Can you name that Superman movie?
Can you name that Superman movie?
He did the whole
can
whole theme song.
You name that Superman movie, the movie that's about Superman. Can you name it?
Oh man, I'm really hitting those notes.
that's a little rough.
And finally, at number one, in our continuing series of Ask Us, who did we have in? He was from the Columbo crime family, is that right?
I think so, yeah. He was a cat.
Jonathan Franzone, exactly. I think was his name.
Michael Franzese.
Michael Franzese, thank you very much. He came in and we gave listeners a chance to call in.
So much, know so much about the mob.
Listeners called in. They had a chance to ask what it's like to be, you know, to be in that lifestyle, a life of crime. And it was a great feature and a great intro that Omar called Ask a Mobster.
But also, the reason I put this at number one is because, you know, my life is really not in danger when I'm doing these things in the next studio.
Right.
This is the only one that didn't get played all the way through.
Oh, is that right?
Do you remember
because he was in the studio.
Remember, he wasn't really a funny ha-ha kind of guy.
No, we were reading his body language, yes. And he was not entertaining.
Yeah, and he made a comment like, "Who made that intro?" So you know, so that's why this one came.
Like,
in,
we wouldn't give you
one.
Up in a second.
Yeah, right.
Ask a mobster if you want somebody whacked in your neighborhood. Who are you gonna ask? Ask a mobster. Do you sleep with the fish? If you don't, be good. Who are you gonna ask? You wind up dead. Who are you gonna ask? Ask a mobster.
Now I'm relatively sure that we haven't heard the rest of this yet.
No, you were way out by then. Yeah.
You want a horse's head inside a bed? Who are you gonna ask? Ask a mobster.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
Top 10 intros of the year here on K-Rock. Well done, sir.
The top 10 Omar intros. Oh, yeah.
4th of July disasters coming up just after the top of the hour. Manny Ramirez is playing back in the United States, by the way. I don't know if you heard that or not.
I didn't know that.
Jim Rash and Nat Faxon from the movie The Way, Way Back, which I saw yesterday and is great, will be on the program. And Anthony Jeselnik, comedian, will be here first. Let's talk about Taylor Swift. She has a fragrance, and they all do. All celebrities have fragrances.
And they make a fortune.
If they're successful, they can make $100 million fortune.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. And who buys this stuff?
I don't know. It must be her fans.
I guess. I don't know one single person who buys celebrity fragrance.
She was honored with the top prize for, quote, celebrity fragrance of the year at last night's Fragrance Foundation Awards in New York City.
Who knew that existed?
What a great award that must have been. So she's got this Wonderstruck is the name of her first one. And Wonderstruck Enchanted is the name of her second one. And we thought we would catch up with Taylor this morning and just find out, you know, what all the fragrances are about.
Okay.
Hi, Taylor Swift. Or Taylor.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you're calling me. Oh, my God. Oh, oh.
Taylor.
Oh, my God.
Taylor, it's okay. Taylor, you knew we were calling.
No, I had no idea. I'm so surprised. Oh, my God. I can't believe you're calling me.
Right.
Who is this again?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. So you won an award for your fragrance. How about that?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I won. Oh,
no, this happened over the weekend.
Oh, I can't believe I won.
You have to be able to believe it now.
I still can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Wonderstruck and then Wonderstruck Enchanted.
Yeah, Enchanted.
What does that mean exactly? How does that smell different than Wonderstruck?
Well, at first you're Wonderstruck. You're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. I wonder how it happened to me. I'm Wonderstruck.
Right.
And then you put on the next fragrance.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, my God, I'm so enchanted. I wonder how I got so enchanted. I'm Wonderstruck.
Now, E! News caught up with you, and you described to them how satisfying it was to be able to start from scratch and make your own fragrance. And I'd like to suggest that you didn't start from scratch.
Well, I have a new fragrance coming out.
So you have a third?
Yes, called Taylor.
Taylor.
Oh, my God, how did I come up with that name?
it's your own name.
Yeah.
And I did come up with that from scratch.
Okay, really, though, because it seems like probably what happens is these fragrance companies come to you and go, smell this, it's a little different, you want to use it? You don't start from scratch.
No, first I come up with an idea.
Right.
And then it's a notion. And then it's a plan.
Right.
And then it's a concept.
Uh-huh.
And then it's a... in development.
But you're not a scientist. You're not in some kind of lab somewhere mixing together different scents to make your own, are you?
I am. I put on my glasses and my white lab coat and my goggles.
That doesn't happen.
I go, oh my God, I can't believe I came up with this fragrance. It's so good. It's so enchanted. I'm Wonderstruck that I came up with it. My name's Taylor.
Now, how is Taylor different than Wonderstruck and Wonderstruck Enchanted?
Well, Taylor's based on my own personality.
So
it's a bitchy fragrance?
Oh, my God, I can't believe you just said that to me.
it's a horrible person smelling fragrance?
No, it's based on me.
Right.
And my life.
So it smells like surprise?
Oh, my God, it's so surprising when you put it on. I can't believe it smells so good. It also smells like bitterness and depression.
Does it?
Okay.
And smells like a man walking out a door.
What does that smell like exactly?
Well, it smells like... smells like sweat and cigarettes and cheap liquor.
and then
the oil here from the hinges as it slams on your face and you never see them again.
Sad.
You've had that experience a lot, though, haven't you?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you have.
This is a bummer of a phone call.
Today's show is all about the beautiful people. Actress Gemma Arterton is going to be here from the new Hansel and Gretel. Also, Bobcat Goldthwait. Man, is he sexy.
He's
and
hot.
The international man of mystery, Doto. Next hour here on the world famous K-Rock. Right now, though, how about a Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I have several stories for you today. Air Force searches out porn, other offensive material on its bases. Some women have been complaining that there's a lot of porn on the Air Force bases.
Mm-hmm.
So they did.
Listen to Lisa.
They uncovered more than 631 pornographic movies, videos, DVDs, posters, magazines, and other material that was either stored on computer servers or displayed in common areas where everybody could see it. The hunt also found 31,585 other instances of unprofessional offensive material, including a Ken doll that's in a swimsuit. I kid you not.
Inoffensive? I mean, that's offensive
this
material?
This is political correctness gone crazy. I tweeted the picture of the Ken doll at the Kevin Ryder, and it's just a Ken doll. He's got a towel on his arm, and he's wearing a full swimsuit. And that was considered insensitive and destroyed.
Really?
I don't know what the story is here, but I'm fine with men and women in uniform having access to porn for private reasons. Like, they don't have enough bad things going on in their life. Give them a glimmer of fun at some point during their day, right?
Right, but if somebody's offended by it,
you can... That's why I'm saying private. Porn in private. I'm not saying rub it in everybody else's face, make them participate if they're not interested, but it seems I don't think that you should be prohibited from having something for personal use.
I agree. I totally agree, but they destroyed all of it, including the Ken doll, which I'm guessing was not being used for sex. Although I don't know for a fact.
That's true. We don't know.
Don't know for a fact. Police in Trinidad and Tobago were dispatched to investigate reports of a gunshot coming from the area of a car parked in the town of Rio Claro. They did not expect to find a security guard slumped over the wheel after having shot his penis off.
No.
He shot it off.
Oh, my God.
It was unattached by bullet.
That's a bad way to lose your penis.
Is there a good way?
No, there isn't.
The unidentified 33-year-old was rushed to the hospital, adding insult to injury. The guard is expected to be charged with illegal possession of a firearm and ammunition after law enforcement officials discovered he did not have a valid handgun license.
Well, that's not a surprise. He doesn't know how to use the damn thing.
He shot his penis off.
That's a bad story to tell for the rest of your life, isn't it?
Speaking of not treating your penis with care, habitual drunkard Kenneth Gillespie, 64 years old. This is a guy who's been booked, you know, one of those guys who's been booked 100 times for being drunk.
Yes.
Right.
He was found half naked and screaming in agony next to the remains of a 5-foot snow sculpture. When he arrived for treatment at the North Central Infirmary in Blackburn, the medics found the booze-soaked man was suffering from frostbite of his... penis.
Ladies and gentlemen, he was making that snowman his own.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? He was doing the snowman.
Awesome.
They say occasionally this dude will get trapped in something or get an object wedged up in him.
I love him so much.
But this is the most bizarre mishap yet. Frostbite, of course, can cause infection and gangrene. Apparently, several people in the community are really upset, and they have vowed to dismember him after what he did to the kid snowman. He, quote, left a pile of empty bottles, a wrecked snowman, and a trail of frozen juice in the middle of the community recreation.
By the way, did you say erect snowman or an erect snowman? I didn't catch that.
Erect, W-R-E-C-K.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay, yeah. He wrecked that snowman.
He did, yeah. That's a desperate dude right there. Let's take it on the snowman.
He's a goer.
And finally, this one comes out of Phoenix. The 500 block of North Quincy Street prompted a call to police late Monday night when a resident allegedly became out of control while huffing. Another huffing story.
Okay. Oh, it's been a while since we've heard huffing.
According to police, two roommates at a substance abuse treatment center. So this is where it happened, where you're trying to get clean. Alerted a resident advisor that their roommate had been acting erratically and the room was in disarray. The subject was wearing only a T-shirt when they arrived, had a sheet over his head, was allegedly huffing disinfectant spray.
Oh, wow.
The resident reportedly, the advisor called police because he was hissing, speaking in tongues, shaking uncontrollably, trying to eat coins, and had attempted to set his mattress on fire.
Oh, man.
It's a party.
Police say when they arrived to try and speak with the 18-year-old man, he was naked and still attempting to eat coins. Officers tried to take the man into custody, but he didn't cooperate. The officers gave him a warning, but he continued to stay on all fours and growl at them. So they tased him and handcuffed him. Then the man attempted to eat the taser.
Oh, wow.
Police say once they met, the best part's still to come, by the way, for this story.
No way.
Anything I've said is the setup to this next part. Okay. Police say once they managed to handcuff the man, the naked subject bent over with his hands still behind his back. And according to police report, quote, spread his beehole open.
Oh, come on.
And yelled to the police, who wants some? Who wants some? And that's Kevin and Beans Citizen of the Day.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans Citizen of the Day.
So the fact that Doug Benson is here in person in our studio on time means we all lost the bet, right?
Right, we did.
We all figured he was basically warning us last night on Twitter that he was going to oversleep and we would not see him.
And nobody bet on my side.
No,
you
not
all just
one
thought
person.
That was the warning shot that we needed.
It was a warning shot. We never usually if somebody cancels, they're not considerate enough to give us a warning shot.
Oh, okay.
They just don't show up and then we go, "Hey, what are we supposed to do?" But at least last night, what were you feeling when you tweeted, "Has anyone ever slept through? I'm feeling like this might happen."
I forget if I did. I tweet it before or after midnight?
I have no idea.
It was before. It was definitely before because I saw it before bed.
Okay, that's why. So then it was what happened was is I knew I was seeing a movie that didn't start till 11. And so I knew I wouldn't be home until, you know, pretty late and
like
then...
one something. Yeah. How often do you, with your schedule as a nighttime comedian and podcaster, how often do you ever have to get up in the morning, Doug?
Pretty much every day, because I'm either doing some sort of media, and like you gotta get up really early if you're on the phone to the East Coast or something, and then I also have to fly a lot. And, and that's another thing where you have to if you're flying to the other side of the country because of the time you lose. Like if you have a show that night, you have to be at LAX at 6 a.m. or something.
It's so weird. Until you said that sentence, I always thought being a comedian was the perfect career for a pothead, but it sounds like it's not. It sounds like it's the opposite because you have so many other obligations beyond being on stage.
Yeah, the trick is to remain an opening act. Because then the obligations are, you know, you don't have to do the media. You know, you could sleep in every day, go to a movie matinee, and then show up that night and do your 15, 20 minutes.
And if people aren't there, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
It was the life. I was so happy when I wasn't making it.
Damn it, you got good. That's the worst thing that ever could have happened to
you.
Yeah,
success is really a bummer.
But you don't know when you're in that place, you don't know that that's the best you're going to have it, that you're going to look back on those days as the good old days.
I had a feeling.
You did.
I did enjoy it because I came up in stand-up comedy when, you know, there was such a boom that they would legitimately pay you and fly you in and put you in a hotel just to open the show, just to be the MC. And, those days are gone. Now they always just grab local people and, you know, pay them with a sandwich.
as a stoner can appreciate.
Yeah. Like I said, the good old days.
What do you think the attrition rate is of people who plan on being stand-up comedians versus those that are able to make a living doing it? 99.9%?
It must be huge. It must be, you know, I think it's, for me, it feels more like something, though, that if you're determined, you can make it work somehow. Because there's enough stages and enough, you know, clubs that need to be filled that, you know, it's not like acting where you have to get cast.
It's on you to get.
It's more, you know, DIY. You know, like you just have to, and you have to really commit to it. And in my case, it took like about 8 years before anybody even started paying me to do it. And then I had to, you know, climb that ladder. You know, the ladder of open, middle, headliner.
And now you get your own plane. And a gold-plated limo.
I wish. But I think the thing that I, and you guys, maybe you could tell me yours, what's the one thing you would get, you know, you would have if you really were rich, and mine would be
if you had like
full-time,
$1 billion?
Yeah, mine would be full-time chef.
Full-time chef, sure.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
As a stoner, that's the best.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But also, I could eat healthier that way if someone is...
You wouldn't. You wouldn't.
I'd
pick somebody that's fried and make it now.
I'd pick somebody that's terrible with desserts. Only good with vegetables.
I will tell you this, Doug, and this won't surprise you, I don't think, as much as you know about our show, but for me, it would be a sex robot, obviously, would be the thing. If I had the money to blow on it, I would get the world's best sex robot.
I think I know who you would want it to look like also, but I won't say. Uh-oh. I won't say. I don't want to.
What's his name?
Who does he creep on the most?
That's a Taylor great Swift? Question.
It would look just like Taylor
you
Swift. Is that what you mean?
Taylor Swift?
Yeah,
I don't creep on her. I
has
love
she been a guest?
Her.
No,
she,
we hate
no.
her. No, the rest of us hate her. Her nickname
the best.
Is Tadolf Swindler.
She's the best person in the world ever, and I love her, and she
right,
will
hold
be
on,
mine.
B. Hold on, B.
Doug Benson. Who were you thinking of when you said that?
I was thinking Rachel Nichols.
Rachel Nichols.
Well, yeah, I do love her so much. Yeah. But yeah. But I'll have enough money to have a sex robot in the basement, and then Rachel Nichols will be chained up upstairs. So I'll take care of both. I'm so going to be in business.
Okay. You are just a creep.
What? That's not a good use of my funds?
Hey, we have to take a break. Doug Benson is here. We'll have more time in the next segment. The reason he's here, by the way, is The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled,
which you've heard us talk about on this program because it came out on 311 earlier this year, is now available on demand and on iTunes and on something called chill.com. Doug, what's that?
Chill.com is just a site where it's been for a while. That's where we first launched it. But now it's gone wider into if you have whatever cable system you have, it's probably in your on-demand section.
You had me at...
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very high.
You had me there. All right, I'm in.
The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled, available now from our friend Doug Benson, and we're going to talk to him more about that. And also the shocking thing that I found that Doug used to do for a living.
Oh.
That I don't think we've ever talked about on this program
Male
before.
Prostitute?
When we return. Hey, spoiler alert, when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on here. Our friend Doug Benson in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show from The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled, available now on iTunes, video on demand, and chill.com. He, of course, is also the host of Doug Loves Movies podcast, very popular, available on iTunes. Hundreds of thousands of subscribers for that, I think. Speaking of movies, Doug, I didn't know until recently about your career as a movie extra.
Oh, yeah.
Shocking to me. The number of movies that you have been in that we have all seen and didn't know you were in. Tell us about that. I don't think we've ever talked with you about that on the show.
It's ridiculous. I grew up in San Diego, and so and I had a buddy who his dad lived up in L.A. So in my late teens, I just started commuting up to L.A. and just trying to get work as an extra in movies, just to kind of get a leg up before, because I was always planned to move here.
Right.
And
did you always plan to be an actor?
Yeah, I wanted to be an actor or a writer. I knew I wanted to be involved in movies in some capacity. And
how'd that work out?
Well, he's making his own now.
My new one is out today. I have to act in documentaries, yeah. Is what the show business has told me. But
how many movies have you been in that we know?
Well, the top three, I'll give you the three most famous movies that it's just weird to even be in, even though it's just for a few seconds.
Okay.
Blade Runner.
Really? Right?
Yeah.
Right, Kevin?
I can point to myself in Blade Runner. I go, that's me right there.
Wow.
And Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, wow.
I can see that.
Of course.
Filmed at the former Galleria in Sherman Oaks.
Sure,
and
right.
Then, Captain EO. The Disneyland
Captain
attraction.
EO with Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
You were in that little 15-minute thing or whatever?
Yeah. They, you know how they have professional dancers and crazy get-ups through the whole thing. And then Francis Ford Coppola went so far over budget that for the last scene, they was just like, let's just hire extras and put them in the dancers' costumes and then just have them freestyle at the end when they're celebrating Michael Jackson saving them or whatever the hell happens. You know, Angelica Houston turns into an ugly witch into a... not that attractive princess. and then we all dance. And so that's at that.
Did you have some sweet moves?
Oh, I tried to stand out just with the most ridiculous moves possible.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to pick me out because we're all dressed the same. You know, me and all the other extras.
Well, then
but
I was in it too.
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
So did you, how close did you get to Michael Jackson?
Fairly close. I also worked for a brief period of time as a production assistant for his company.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I ran errands for Michael Jackson.
How do we not know any of this about you?
How did you run errands for Michael Jackson?
You know, I'd have to take an envelope out to that house they had out in Havenhurst, you know.
Well, those were payoffs, right? Those were payoffs to keep things from going to court.
I don't know what it, I don't know what it was.
You mean their other house, the Jackson house?
Yeah. He lived there at the time. And then he had
You used to do deliveries for Michael Jackson?
Yeah, for his company. It was called Smooth Criminal Productions. It was around the time he was making the Smooth Criminal video.
How much interaction did you have with Michael Jackson personally?
I just was in the same room with him once or twice when I was working for him. And on Captain EO, he would...
Captain EO.
I was only there for one day, but it was like a 17-hour day, and because they had to finish the stupid movie, and then every time, and Michael Jackson, like watching him, you know, dance and stuff was really, it was fun to, you know, be right there watching it happen. And but then every time they'd say cut, he'd run off and sit in a corner with he had this little boyfriend, I think his name was Jonathan,
right?
And the kid would just you know, sit in his lap, and they'd whisper in each other's ear and giggle. And like,
well, this went south quick.
Kid, no, I'm just saying.
I'm so excited.
One year I'm here to confirm that Michael Jackson was a full blown creep, but also a very innocent one. Like you could tell they were just having fun, and that it might not be.
You didn't
sexual.
Think it was sexual.
I thought it might be. Yeah,
right.
Because it was really like it was like he carried that kid around like he used to carry Bubbles around. You know, like he moved from Animal Kingdom to real life human boys.
I saw Alfonso Ribeiro. Is that his name? Is that how you pronounce his
sure.
name? I saw him on TV just this week doing an interview. He was the kid who was dressed up like little Michael Jackson in one of the Pepsi commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up becoming very good friends with Michael Jackson and spending a couple of years with him. And he said Michael Jackson was absolutely another kid. It was exactly like hanging out with another 13-year-old. There was never anything creepy about it. I could never imagine there being anything creepy about it. For what it's worth, that was his experience, and it sounds like you're saying you
Michael,
got the same vibe on the set.
And then Michael poured him a big goblet of Jesus juice.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Yeah, right. Doug.
Yeah,
that's
no, he was definitely a weirdo for sure.
Yeah. Where are you in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, one of my favorite movies of all time? Where do I have to freeze frame to see Doug Benson in that film?
At the end of the movie when, spoiler, when Ratner when Ratner goes to Perry's Pizza and is talking up Stacy, you know, and it looks like they might, you know, be able to have a nice, normal teenage relationship. I'm in the background in like a yellow and white striped Izod shirt.
Sweet.
Glasses. Haircut for the time, of course, and then
unbelievable,
and smoking a cigarette because the AD was like, "Who here will smoke a cigarette?" And I was like, "I'll do it." And so I wasn't a cigarette smoker then or now, so it looks ridiculous,
awesome,
like just a teenager at the mall thinking he's cool smoking a cigarette.
Doesn't Doug seem to you guys like? He has rarely turned down whatever anyone has asked him to do. He's like up for whatever.
Oh, he's the I'll do it guy.
He's the I'll do it guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He's the I'll drink that jar of pickle juice. He's that guy.
I don't know that you may have found the one thing I might not do. I'm not a big pickle fan. In fact, food in general, I'm kind of picky about. Like that's one thing.
A stoner that's picky about food?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
That's a
weird.
Dilemma.
I mean, there's no desserts I don't like.
Okay, all right.
But when it comes to other stuff, I have my tastes aren't that great. So. That's a bad one. And I also won't do anything crazy with animals. Like I had that
glad,
guy.
I'm glad to hear that.
That guy, Dominic Monaghan from Lost.
You
know, he has a show called Wild Things.
Yeah, Wild Things.
And he goes right up to these crazy, like he's going to get Steve Irwin before he knows it.
Yeah,
like,
they're deadly, deadly snakes and stuff.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, if you just know how to hold it. No, that's not.
That's what you think until the day you die.
Yeah, yeah.
Doug, why did you stop doing extras? Did you end up getting, did comedy start to take off? That's when you stopped showing up for those movies?
Well, here's the other crazy thing that some people don't know, and I try not to talk about it too much, but I moved on from being an extra in random movies to being, I was one of the people that was always in the background at the detective agency on Moonlighting.
Okay.
What?
What's happening?
I spent my days sitting around a set waiting for Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd to stop hating each other and shoot the damn scene.
So you were an office worker in the background at the Moonlighting Detective Agency.
Yeah, yeah. It was like they hired a group of us that would like always be there, just walking around. Like we're always doing like busy work, and like the joke on the show is the agency doesn't have any clients. So I don't know why there's six or seven of us. Walking around,
what are you doing?
With files and answering phones and stuff.
So, how long did you do that?
That was how long was that show on for? Like four,
like
or five
4 years
seasons
or something? Yeah,
yeah. So, I lasted till about I think when they had like maybe half a season. Like when it all fell apart after David and Maddie made it. You know, once they had sex, the show
no
just
one cared.
Fell apart.
No one cared.
Yeah, and it just it dropped off. So I I at that point, I had started working as when a guest star would come in, I would be like their stand-in. So then I moved to the world of being a stand-in in movies.
Okay. You're the most interesting man in the world, and we didn't know it.
Now, what movies were you a stand-in for?
Well, I was just – there was two movies where I was a stand-in for the entire film, and they're both movies that nobody remembers. One of them was called
– E.T.
one of them was called – when we were making it, it was called The Woo Woo Kid, but when it came out, it was called In the Mood, and it starred Patrick Dempsey as a true story of a young guy who just kept getting arrested for marrying older women.
Okay. I saw that movie.
Yeah. He's McDreamy. He's McDreamy, right?
Yeah.
Lisa saw that movie.
I didn't see that movie.
Oh, you have bad taste.
So I was Patrick Dempsey's stand-in for that entire movie.
Okay.
And there has never been a stand-in who looks less like the guy he's standing in for than that.
Well, I had, you know, maybe I was thinner and I had the height, you know, and that's all that really matters. You know, you might as well be a mannequin, you know, to wait stand-ins when you're standing there.
Right. You're just a placeholder.
Yeah. It's not like you ever really, you know. And then the next movie I did was that horrible debate movie with Kirk Cameron and Jamie Gertz called Listen to Me.
Never heard of it. Lisa?
I think I might have seen it.
Never heard of it.
Maybe. It's it was a terrible movie. Like it doesn't even make sense.
But that's not on you.
No, not on
you at all. Yeah, you're not even in it.
And then I am in it briefly at the end because there's a big debate, college level debate or whatever, and I'm one of the guys you never see me debate, but I'm like supposedly on the Harvard team.
When you get your
it's a horrible movie.
That's weird casting.
When you get your royalty checks, your union royalty checks from Moonlighting, now all these years later, how much are they?
Oh, it's tiny, but it's also I didn't, you know, I was working as a non-union extra, so there's no residuals for the extra work, but there was a couple of times I got my SAG card because a couple times on the show they'd let us say something.
Nice.
And so I get minuscule
12 cents here,
minuscule residual checks for
there.
That. Yeah, that's it's not really playing anymore in anywhere, you know. Like whereas Friends, I had you know a couple lines on an episode of Friends, and I get tweets almost every day from people saying you were on Friends because it's on Nick at Night, it's on local syndication, it's like the episode plays constantly, so I always know when I'm going to get a
Which
check.
Which movie did you shout?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very high.
That was in Greatest Movie Ever Rolled. We to promote the movie, we did it Blues Brothers style. I mean, to promote the one of the shows that I did in the movie, we drove around Ann Arbor, Michigan, with me just sticking my head out the window with a bullhorn. Just
that could be endless fun
promoting the show.
Endless
it's
fun.
Ridiculous. The stupid things you think of to say to just people minding their own business.
Sir, you have a baby on your back.
I love that one.
Just a heads up.
Yeah, well, Doug, that's definitely a highlight of the movie.
I have all due respect for you after this conversation today. What a fascinating story. Before we let you go, Greatest Movie Ever Rolled, available on iTunes, video on demand at chill.com. Do you advise this movie is best enjoyed high or not high? Which is your advice, Doug?
Oh, well, I'd say everything's more fun when you're high. But,
okay.
If you want to sit there and, jones for weed the entire time, because that's probably what it'll make, I'm smoking pretty freely throughout, so you might get frustrated. It's like with Super High Me, the first part of the movie the 30 days where I didn't smoke at all, like I get stoners complaining to me on Twitter, like, why'd you do that? How could you do that? I was like, I was making a point.
Like it was a personal attack on them.
I'm making a point. It's not addictive. And they're like, well, we fast forward through that part. We can't watch that. Oh, and there's one other thing I got to plug real quick if I can.
Of course.
You guys probably a friend of this show, Daniel Kellison,
over at the
Jash Network on the internet. I'm going to start doing a new talk show with him over there at Jash that's going to be called Getting Doug with High. And it's every episode is going to be me and a different celebrity just openly smoking weed and having a conversation.
I love it. When does that start?
In October.
Fantastic. You'll have to come back when that starts.
For sure.
All right. Thanks,
Doug Benson.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, you guys.
So if today's Wednesday, that means tomorrow is Thursday, and that's the day that our friend Stryker is going to be world premiering brand new music from Depeche Mode. Do I have that right?
Yes.
their new song called Heaven tomorrow afternoon here on K-Rock. If you want to hear some Depeche Mode, it's been 4 years since their last new album. And then Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show at around 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking to our friend Dave Gahan from the band, get some more details about the new album and about the upcoming tour. So if you're a Depeche Mode fan, this is a big week for you right here on the world famous K-Rock.
They have way too many animal stories to handle, so we put them on a wheel. It is the wheel of bad animal voices. Here's what the categories are, the stories that could come up. Purston Howell III from the Rich Cats of Instagram.
Why can't we ever talk to Purston Howell III? Why will it not land on that?
Dude, am I in charge of the wheel?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Vicious British underground mice, killer right. Asian tiger mosquitoes, Harvey right. Dent, the two-faced kitten, the Iranian Harvey. Space monkey, Willie the foul-mouthed cockatoo, the Brazilian penis snake, Kansas stoner mice, Holly, the cat who walked 200 miles to get home.
Aww.
And Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Is Irwin still alive? We haven't checked on him. He's been in the wheel for like 2 years.
I would guess not, so I hope it doesn't land on that.
All right, let's try it. It's the wheel of bad animal. Time.
Too soon?
Fine, go ahead.
It's time for the wheel of bad animal voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
We don't know.
It's gonna be pretty.
Spin the wheel. Let's see who we're talking to today. Oh, nice spin.
Felt good. I got to be honest. It felt good.
It looked good.
The Iranian space monkey.
Yay!
Now, I actually saw this story this week, and I have a question for you. Is it 1957? Why are we sending monkeys into space?
In Iran, it is. In 2010, Iran says that it launched a rocket into space carrying a mouse, a turtle, and worms. They're working toward getting a man in space.
What's the rush? We sent a man in space in 60 or something. How are they still building up to that?
If you believe that. Iranian state TV says the country has successfully sent a monkey into space in what was described as, quote, another step toward the country's goal of manned spaceflight.
I just feel like Iran's got enough going on without worrying about sending monkeys into space. But we wanted to find out more about the story, so we asked producer Dave, yes, in the last 15 seconds since we landed on this on the wheel, to line us up Farouk, who is the monkey who went into space for the great country of Iran, and he joins us on the phone now. Hi, Farouk.
What's up, my babies? How do you think, my babies?
Well, first of all, I am, as an animal lover, relieved that you successfully returned from your trip into space. How are you feeling?
Thankfully returned. They put me back into space. I'm right up here in space now, my babies.
What? They sent you back up? You're back?
Yes, they had a good mission, so they said, Farouk, get back up there. Go do more space travel. So here I am, my babies. Look at me. I am a monkey in space.
We have a roof. We can't really see out.
I know, but it's incredible, isn't it? Most monkeys swing at trees or tires or throw poop, but I am in space.
That's true.
It's incredible.
You can throw poop
at...
Farouk, yes.
Farouk is on fire. I don't need bananas and no monkey in space.
So you sound like the smartest monkey in the world. Are you enjoying being an astronaut?
It's great. I'll tell you, first of all, the chicks dig it, man.
Is that right?
Chicks dig astronauts. I, you know, I go out now in Iran, I splash on some cologne, I go into the local cocktail lounge, and the ladies are all over me. Because I'm the least hairy guy in the room.
Oh, well, there's that.
Yeah, they love that.
There's that. Now, when they first came to you and said, hey, we want to send you into space, and we've got a space program that's really just getting out of the starting blocks here, you must have been a little bit nervous. I don't know that I would trust, you know, I don't want to be the first monkey in space, you know?
I was a little bit nervous because, you know, Iran is not famous for its technological advances.
Right.
Right, right.
But then I thought about it and I said, look, what's the worst thing that could happen, right? I mean, well, I could suffocate. I guess that would be bad.
You could die in a lot of...
The pressure would go out the capsule and I would explode like an overinflated balloon.
Right,
Geez, that was a dumb move on my part going into space.
Yeah, it may have been.
When I think about it, that mouse and that turtle and the worm were right.
They told you not to go?
They said, be careful. It's not easy up there.
So are you going
to be... To Major Farouk.
Are you going to be allowed to land again, or is this a one-way trip into space this time for Rip?
No, I'm coming back. Of course I'm coming back.
Are you positive?
I am absolutely positive. Okay. I am coming back because they're going to promote me from astronaut to vice president of the country.
Is that right?
Yes. it's very, you move up very quickly in this country.
Uh-huh. Okay, sounds like it. Yeah, you'll be running things. That's
and
great.
And then also we're going to arm long-range missiles and shoot them at you, my baby. So good luck,
well,
everybody.
That's what I think people are a little afraid of.
Yeah, we don't really like Iran having things in space orbiting the Earth because you're not exactly on the friendliest of terms with the United States.
Oh, we're going to blow you up, my babies.
You sound very happy about that.
Well, listen, we can work out a deal. You know, you send me some bananas and maybe we can talk about it.
Okay.
Maybe we'll point those missiles in another direction. Look, I'm easy to buy off. I'm a monkey.
I'm very happy to hear that. And I have to say, you know, based on recent phone calls on the Kevin and Bean Show, I'm delighted to see how healthy you sound in space.
Yeah, it's good to be in space because you have zero gravity. You float around and
do
everything.
Not set this up.
The hard part is the G-forces. When you take off, it's a little right. difficult on your stomach, I tell you.
Right, we got to go.
You just
did. Oh, for Rude. I was just saying how healthy you sound, dude. Come on. What happened?
Farouk, that monkey.
There's a lot of bananas floating in the air right now.
Talk to a guy in a couple of minutes who's got a job training, oh, I don't know, cadaver dogs, dogs to find cadavers, and cash and drugs and all sorts of things. That's an interesting line of work to get into, isn't it?
Yeah, they train the dogs for the, you know, the authorities, for the police and everything else, the DEA.
Military, yeah.
And the stuff that they can teach those dogs is unbelievable.
Smarter than Beer Mug, I'll tell you that.
Hey.
Listening
Maybe
to the Kevin
have
Beach.
A dog run aboard.
Hey, great idea.
I love it. Listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Time for a brand new Beanstuff Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
Death is hilarious. That's what I've learned in the years that we've been doing this feature. And nowhere is it more hilarious than in the Heart Attack Grill, a restaurant in Las Vegas. They are back in the news. They lost another spokesman, you guys.
Another one? Really?
How many is that now?
Well, this is two in a row. The last guy who was the spokesperson for Heart Attack Grill died at age 29 a couple of years ago.
My God.
In 2012, just last year, a customer suffered an actual heart attack while eating the triple bypass burger. 2 months after that, they had a customer collapse in the restaurant while eating the double bypass burger. By the way, they have something called the quadruple bypass burger, which has four, you know, pieces of meat on it and all the fixings, everything else, all the cheese and everything you can imagine.
Muggs, you've had that, right?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Take a guess, Lisa, how many calories in that one burger?
The double bypass burger?
The quadruple bypass burger.
God, it's
with all the
like
with all the sauce, the meat, and the cheese, and everything like that. Yeah.
Half a pound of cheese. I'm going to say 3,500 calories.
All fantastic. Fantastic guess if you met 9,982.
Wow. No.
Wow.
If you met nearly 10,000 calories for the quadruple bypass burger. Well, the latest victim was 52 years old. His name was John Alleman. He's the guy who would stand outside the restaurant to try to encourage people to come inside. The owner did not even pay the man, paid him in free food.
What?
He says after the man's death, he told the Las Vegas Sun, this is John Basser, the owner of the Heart Attack Grill. I told him if you keep eating like this, it's going to kill you. And sure enough, it did. He has said all along, look, I'm just being honest. I don't tell anyone to come to the Heart Attack Grill and eat all of your meals here. I tell you right when you walk in the door, this establishment is bad for your health.
Right.
And they have lost another spokesperson, this time 52 years old.
Oh, my God.
But wouldn't you go if you were in Las Vegas and thought of it? Come on. Here's a similar story. Ralph mentioned this very briefly last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it much. Here's a woman who died due to her addiction to Coca-Cola. 30 years old, Natasha Harris from New Zealand, was drinking 2.2 gallons of Coca-Cola every single day.
2 gallons?
My gosh.
She, by the way, was a mother of 8, which is just a she's 30 and has 8 kids, by the way, and clearly not treating herself right.
There's a lot going wrong there.
Yeah, and now the kids have no mom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
The coroner says that her Coke habit, and we're talking about Coca-Cola here, was a substantial factor that contributed to the development of the metabolic imbalances which gave rise to the arrhythmia. In other words, she would be alive today if she hadn't drank all that goddamn soda.
Her mother-in-law was quoted saying to the Discovery Channel she would get the shakes if she didn't get soda often enough. Withdrawal symptoms, she would be angry, on edge, and snappy. So it sounds like she was actually addicted to drinking Coca-Cola.
Sure does.
Wow.
So, 30 though. Wow. Here's a crazy story that is in Death Corner because we're talking about a man in Sweden named Salih Hadri who is suspected of killing a man. He got away. He went on the run for more than a year. In fact, 15 months he was on Sweden's most wanted list. He got away and they couldn't find him.
Okay.
He finally got tired of running. Claims he's innocent, by the way. Decided he wanted to fight the charge. So he went to the local police station to turn himself in. He rang the doorbell and he said, "I'm on the most wanted list. I would like to turn myself in." They said back to him over the intercom, "I'm sorry, we're closed right now.
No, nope.
You'll have to go to a different police station to turn yourself in."
That did not happen.
It did happen. Mr. Hadri said, "Closed? I'm suspected of murder. I'm on your wanted list. You guys really want to get a hold of me?" And he was told, "No, I'm sorry, we are closed right now." Apparently they were doing some construction or something like that.
Oh, my God.
They didn't send an officer out to, like, lock him up and take him to the other station. They just said, "Nah, you just go on down the road, go to the other police station."
Look, it's an honor system. We'll trust you.
So I don't know whether he did it or not, but I think that's a hilarious way to turn yourself in. A couple more stories in this all-new Beans Death Corner. Here's a 21-year-old Luis Sermontio in New Jersey just on Monday this week. He was in a terrible car accident involving two other vehicles on the Garden State Parkway. He survived, got out of the car, tried to cross the street afterwards to get some help, and was hit by a car on the way over the highway. You're in an accident. Does it really, Lisa?
Yeah,
do you see
people,
that?
People, like, they'll have a flat tire and then try to run across the freeway, and then they get hit and killed. Or someone comes to help them.
Yeah,
then
right.
They get hit and killed.
Look, Bowfinger is the only successful case of a guy ever crossing a freeway, right?
That's true.
And finally, this is a grisly, grisly story, but it has a bizarre ending. We actually talked about this at the time. There's a man on death row right now whose name is Andre Thomas. In 2004, he killed three people, including his estranged wife. He cut out their hearts and took the organs home in his pockets using three different knives so the blood from each body would not cross-contaminate, thereby ensuring that the demons inside of each of them would die. He then stabbed himself in the chest, but he did not die. Apparently, he believed, he was being talked to by Satan. He heard a message telling him to kill Jezebel, the Antichrist, and a related evil spirit. That's why he picked the three people. So he's convicted of murder. He's sentenced to death. He's on death row in Texas. While he's in jail, he cuts his eyes out one at a time.
Oh,
I remember this.
Cuts his first eye out. Then a couple months later, cuts out his second eye, making himself blind. And by the way, eating that eye. Okay?
Oh!
Now, I tell you all of this morning, not because I want to ruin your breakfast.
But because it's on the following. That's why. They're cutting these people's eyes out.
It does sound like it's on the following.
That's happening.
Because he is back in the news because of the controversy of his defense is that he is mentally insane.
Mentally insane.
Do you think he might be mentally insane? Do you think if there's ever been a case of a guy who's clearly mentally insane, cutting the hearts out of people, eating your own
voices?
Hearing voices. I mean, this guy's mentally insane. The state of Texas disagrees, and they are going to continue him on death row until his execution. They say he cannot be mentally insane because he tried to run away from the scene after he killed all those people. He heard sirens. He ran away. If he knew he had done something wrong, why would he run? If you're claiming you're insane, then you don't know when you've done something
wrong.
But,
Your Honor, I ate my eye.
Does a guy have to do? How much does the state of Texas love executing people?
They do.
They're going crazy. What do you have to do to be legally insane in Texas? This has been an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.